Scratches on the Bridge. K.M. Norton. There are nights in the dead and still of winter when the world feels unfinished, as though a master artist has used all their charcoal and has drawn the town and the Collins farm and the old mill and the full moon behind scudding clouds, and then there isn't any more. There are nights when there's barely the faintest dark indigo against the black, and there's a silver outline to everything, and the mist is a light grey wash over the canvas. There are nights when this town feels like the only place that has ever existed, and time itself has stopped, and there is only this one freezing night and this one bright moon. No breeze stirs, no birds call, nothing moves. Sound travels on nights like these, and it feels wrong to hear it. Dogs bark, and it feels like the sky might shatter. And it's an insult to hear Greg's old Jeep shuddering and chugging as the engine fails to turn over. And Greg's no doubt asleep a mile away, and his daughter Billy floods the engine. That thing won't start in this kind of cold. She was over at her boyfriend's place. Greg doesn't know she has a boyfriend. Everyone else does, mostly because of that damn Jeep. I live above my shop in the centre of town. I can see the old mill from my bedroom window, and I can see the bridge and the river. I hear the dogs and the Jeep, and on a normal night that's fine. Not a night like this. There I am in my worn fluffy pyjamas. I shouldn't be awake in this unfinished world, but even if I hadn't been up late reading, I would have been woken by the screams. The desperate begging and screaming for help. The sound of racing footsteps. I'm at the window before I even realize, staring out desperately, and I see a racing figure, moonlight shining on long hair. And I could swear to all that's holy that it's Billy pelting down the street, but why is she running? I can't see anyone chasing her. Why isn't her boyfriend out there? Is she running from him? Finn's always been a sweet boy, but they say you never can tell. I grab a blade and a torch and I hurl myself down the steps. Billy's right on the bridge when I get to the street and I'm hurtling towards her, the soles of my socks tearing on the rough dirt of the road, and she looks over her shoulder. It's not me, she sees. It's something else. But when I skid to a halt at the end of the bridge, I look over my shoulder as well. There's nothing there. There's no sign of anything. There's no sign of Finn either. I look up. I swear to everyone on everything I've ever believed in and no longer do, on everything that I'm now scared might be real on nights like this. It's Billy's face that I see, and she looks terrified. I've never seen anyone so scared that they might just die right in front of me. She lets out a wail of heartbreak, of misery and despair, and she launches herself off the bridge even as I scream for her to stop. It's a long drop, a long silence before the splash. I stand there in my torn socks, my heart racing and pounding in my head, and even that feels too loud. I can still hear the echo of her cry and my own desperate plea clattering off the walls of that unfinished charcoal sky. Time doesn't feel real. Nothing feels real. So I don't know how long it is before I hear the sound of the Jeep turning over again. I barely know what I'm doing. I race towards the Jeep and there's Billy cursing at the engine. Everyone heard a scream. They say so the next day. Because sound travels when the world is small and still. Everyone says that they heard a splash. That next day, no one is missing. And when I tell people what I saw, Billy is there. She assures me that she is fine. Why would she jump off a bridge? I must have had a nightmare. You know, she says, nightmares can feel so real sometimes. Isn't it strange, she says, that when you talk about your nightmares, they feel so much more real? When she smiles, it makes my skin go cold. I stop talking about what I saw. I see the scratches on the side of the bridge a week later, after Finn has broken up with Billy because he says she just doesn't seem like the girl he knows anymore. After Greg starts asking for parenting advice for a 17-year-old girl who just doesn't seem interested in the things she's always loved. He says he actually misses arguing about her loud rock and rap music and the jackets and boots she'd leave lying around. She doesn't argue now. Instead, she keeps touching things and smiling. Odd things like keys and doors and windows. She showers several times a day. She avoids her old cat, and the cat avoids her. I try not to think about it, but I look at the scratches on the side of the bridge and I can't help piecing it together, because it looks to me like something was climbing up the bridge, out of the river. Something only Billy could see. Something only she was meant to see. I don't go outside on the nights when the world seems unfinished. I don't close doors too loudly. I don't try to start the car. My eyes can't close. I don't dare sleep. But even though I'm awake through the night, I don't make a sound. You never know what might be listening.